Oh, Mr. Holmes, go away.
Wish everybody a very good night. The title of this share this morning is just a very, it's actually an overview of the problems that arise when dealing with particularly medication and other type of products that might be used, which are towards medication, food products used for serious people, and look at the problems that arise from ASAP, and a little bit of a halachic look at the various things. Each topic that I'll discuss really would be worthy of a share of its own, and we'll try to be as concise as possible, and just put the main Rosh Hashanah, that everybody can have a basic understanding of what is involved and what problems we deal with when we're discussing medication and trying to decide whether medication is permitted or not, and whether what problems there are. And it would be maktim that the information I'm giving you, I'm not a basic, but I have, over the years, amassed a large number of Marim Akaimus and information. And I've discussed this with many Rabbonim and Poskim. And at the end of the day, however, where one gets a Shaila, one has to always discuss it with one's own Rav to get a final psak. I'm not questioning Halacha Maisa as such. I'm giving the background to it, that you know where there is a Shaila and where there's not a Shaila. Really, there are three points to discuss. The first point is the question of inedible type of medication, tablets, capsules, and the like. The second point, which is more relevant to children, though can be relevant to adults, is liquid medication. And the third shaila, which comes up and is very important, is the question, if you do have a medication that is a problem, particularly for a child, what would be the heter to give that medication to a child, even if it contains ingredients that may be a sophic of parents? And I'd like to also be mapped in that I'm not discussing here kidneys. When we write the lists, when we do the lists, we are really discussing only chometz. As such, kidneys for medication is not a problem if, as this passage in the Mishnah Berurah brings down, that for chayla you would even be allowed to cook kidneys for them, proper kidneys on Pesach. So there's no question that when we talk about these tablets and medications, and if the problem was purely a kidneys problem, then we could be lenient. The cases where we've written something that should not be used on Pesach is a case where it's a possible chometz. That means it's either a sophic chometz or it's a chometz derivative, and occasionally, but very rarely, actual chometz. So the first point is the tablets. Now, tablets are, as you know, in the main prescription type of tablets, and other things like paracetamol tablets are not really edible in the true sense of the word. When you swallow a tablet, it has either got no taste, or more often it's got actually a bad taste. You swallow it so you don't happen to taste it. It's got a sort of film coating on it, which prevents you tasting it. But most tablets we consider as not being royal achila. And the question is, what is the halacha of items that are not royal achila? And everybody has heard, it's quoted, the chazanish, shita chazanish, and one can be lenient about tablets. I just want to explain, because people tend to have a very hazy idea of what the chazanish actually said. So very briefly, I just explain what the basis of the chazanish is. And it's really, in order to understand that, you've got to be aware of three se'ifim in Siman Tov and Beis, which I'll quote briefly. The first one is Sif Tom Tofman Base Sif Base, where the Machaber says the Hapas Atzmo She'ipsho. If you got a piece of bread that became rotten, and it came to a stage where it was not fit for a dog to eat, or melugma, which is a sort of dressing, which is not royal achila, there's no chiyuv of beer on it. There's no chiyuv of beer on such a thing, because it's become totally nisun achilas kelev. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah says that also ein chayav beer. The avika avra ba'alma, such a thing as like the dust of the earth, avim loy nisun achilas kelev. But it's not royal, it hasn't yet got to the stage where it's Nisim HaKilas Kelev. Afshel Odom Niskalkel, the inner royal is also not edible, Mikomokel, Adayim Chayev Levayel, Kachomot Komo. Why? Because royal Chameya Baisat Zacharit. The Mishnah Berurah brings a shit to the idea that the understanding is that something is not so bad to be not royal for Achilas Kelev. It's still bad enough not to be fitting for a person to eat. Well, may well still have the property that it could cause other does and other to become comets, and therefore that one that is awesome. So that machabah seems to mechalek between nivsum echilas kelev and nivsum echilas on. Now we come to the next machabah, which is sif dalad, and in sif dalad the machabah says domushin is arid by comets. Something where chometz has got mixed into it. The ino machal odom klal, but it's not fit for his nifsim achilas odom. Or the ino machal kol odom, where it's something which is not fit for everybody to eat. Go and have to write, and the Mishnah Berurah says, ino machal kol odom, but it could be a machal for chomin. That is the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. Kogoyin had to write, which was some sort of food, we don't know exactly what it was, but it was some sort of food which seemed to be not particularly tasty to eat. It still had the term, it still was classified as a machel, but it was not roy for most people to eat, but everybody would eat it. You can keep it, but also and on that, the Mishnah Berurah brings the famous psak of Rosh. What's the reason why? Normally we say that you eat things during the year which are forim asurim, but they're nifsum achilas odom. Generally, we say normally that it's okay. You're not. It's mutter to eat something which is not royal achilas odom. Says the Mishnah Berurah, which is from the Rosh. But afshe ina royal achila mikomach and given to acholay achshavei. Since he ate it, he is machshavei. And the question does apply. We're applying this to Pesach. There's a question of whether this actually applies during the year as well. I'm not going to go into that. That is the second Mishnah Berurah, and the third Mishnah Berurah is the same same simon top and base simon test. That's the one which actually is the mechaber that really goes is the one that we use when we're dealing with cosmetics and perfumes more, but that's, and which I'm not going to into. But chometz shenis apesh, if a chometz has gone completely again back to achilas kelev again, it's totally rotten before this manisur. V'nisim achila kelev, osha sorfo beish, or chometz has been burnt in fire and it's totally singed. Asha in roi the kelev, osha yichta liyishiva, or you set aside some chometz for as a stool. You put a pile of chometz as a stool, and you covered it with some sort of cement. Mutar l'kayim over Pesach. Again, this is even if it's machilas kelev, it's mutar l'kayim. It doesn't say it's mutar to eat it. So even by, and here again, says the Mishnah Berurah, mutar l'kayim over Pesach, you can keep it on Pesach. V'adit the mutar v'ano, and the same thing with mutar v'ano. And this, as a side point, Diane Westheim, Zeichat Tzadik Vrocha, mentioned to me this was a very strong reason why cosmetics and things which you are not, and anything, any cleaning materials or soaps or something, which are, they're like yichto yeshiva, you've set them aside, even if they would contain chometz, that chometz has become not edible at all, and it's yichto yeshiva, you've set it aside for a purpose other than eating. And it's permitted to keep it, and says Mishra, even to have an oil from it. The only thing, again, is you're not allowed to actually eat it, should you feel a desire to do so for some reason. But dafka, why? Because, again, ashavei. If you eat it, then even you're a mashekin and you want to eat it, but you show that you are a mash of it. And okay, so it only applies if you're mash of it. Now, this is the real basis of the head of the Chazanish. The question is, we see that where something is nifsal, even certainly if it's machilas keder, or even if it's machilas keder, there's a problem actually. That means you have a tablet and you would estimate that even a dog wouldn't eat that tablet normally. You know what I mean? And certainly, as most of them, there's certainly nifsal machilas adam. You're going to have this problem of actually the fact that you attach and showing importance to it. Does that make it also? And that was the chiddush of the Chazanish. I just quoted verbatim because people get very confused about it. He says, "Tavlois refuah shemor ben chemach." You have tablets where flour is mixed in them, and there's no water in them. If there would be water, he said, "It's a chomus nosha." But the main point is, "V'imhein meurovim b'dvarim she'enim ruchei lachilas adam." That means you've got a tablet which has got wheat starch, let's say, for example, but which is very, very rare, I must say, nowadays. But let's say you would have something which has wheat starch in it, and that wheat starch is mixed, as when you know when they make a tablet, they mix the wheat starch, it's only there either to hold the bits together, sometimes you have other things there to part the tablet out. They are not anything to do with the healing power of that tablet. The healing power comes from a few milligrams of actual medication that are there, and it's totally mixed in, and even if the actual medication itself may have no taste, may even have a sweet taste, but it's unlikely to have a sweet taste, but the actual medication has got either no taste or a bad taste. Generally, when you mix in this tablet, the whole thing becomes eno royal, and you're not interested in the actual comments there for itself. So he says three things. He says, Kimon di efsha, the end result of your tablet is certainly, we're talking about case, it's nifsam achilas olam. Person would need it. Kimon di efsha lahafil ha kemach. You can't separate that kemach out anymore, even though the kemach in itself may be still edible. Vagam eno royal chameyaboy, and that flour, by virtue of the fact it's mixed in with other stuff, it's not any more fit that it could cause anything else to become chomet, which we remember the Mishnah said before, that the reason why there would be a problem with Nifsa Machilas Olam if it's Royal Chamei Aboy, this is not Royal Chamei Aboy. And then he says the third thing, even according to the Lachrenim who say, the Osa Lech Lachil Osa Afil Chomet Shnifsel Machilas Geneb, as we just saw, that it's also to eat chomet which is Nifsa Machilas Geneb. Why? Because we said of Ashmei. Then he says, this is the main real good of it, the Komokim. Aliday Ta'aruvah Shodvarim. When this flour, this sweet star, is mixed up with other things, Mutter, the Loi Shaykh Kan Ashmei. No, we're not any interested in Ashmei here. There's no question of Ashmei. Kimon, the Datoi ala Samin. Because the intention of that person is to eat the sun, is on the refer. He's not interested in the flour at all. There's no achshavei by something where your interest, if a person for some reason picks something which is not edible and he chooses to eat it, then you could say that he's machshavit for some reason. But somebody who's taking a tablet, he's in no way is he interested in the chomets part. He's taking it because of the other part, which is not chomets anyway. So then we say data and asamim, and the Chazanish paskin is according to that. Any tablet which is not in itself the medication part is not chomets, but it's mixed. But the whole mixture together is not royal achila in some way or other. And even if it's not much about it, but it's such a thing that one would not normally, it just has got no taste. You just swallow it, you would be makel. And this is the basis for the Heta of the Chazanish. And in fact, the Ksav Sofer chose Ksav Sofer one stage further, and Rosh Hashanah used to pass on like that as well. In the rare case you would have a medication that the actual medicine itself is khamas, even then you don't say akshavay, because even though you're actually eating the khamas for the sake, you want that khamas because, you know, don't want it because it's khamas, you want it for the food, you want it because that's what's making you better, and there's no question that some poskim are concerned about that you get a hanor from it. It's also that when you swallow these things, you get hanor. So there are shits, it's certainly something which is actually just not necessarily terribly bad tasting, and then we've just got no taste, and you're eating it, swallowing it in a way that's shleika derech hanor. So since chometz with Pesach is also hanor, is there a question that you might be getting hanor from it? You're getting benefit from it, and chometz on Pesach also hanor, different from the rest of the year. So there are some who are machmir about it, but for example, Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg wrote in the Tshuva that that's not called hanor. Hanor means you get hanor as me'ayim. You eat something, you get a food hanor from it. These do not give you any hanor as me'ayim. It's simply a tablet that the required ingredients hopefully go to the right part of your body and do the job that they're supposed to do. So generally speaking, with all this, there should be little problem with tablets on Pesach. We do. Now, this at one time was quite a theoretical China, because wheat itself is very rarely used anyway. Starch, which is used in tablets, is usually maize starch. However, there are other ingredients, like certain sugars, for example, mannitol, which comes up in certain tablets, and that could possibly, as a sophic, but it's possibly dry for comments. So there are, even though lemaisa it's a chumra b'amba, but Klal Yisrael Kadosh, and people like to try and avoid anything which comes anywhere near chametz. And that's the reason why we write clearly in our lists of where we have found out that these particular ingredients are there. We put them down with a notation that they are not they do have some doubtful ingredients in them, but make it quite clear that if there is no easily available alternative, and easily means I mean that, and it's something which you know you can't stop on Pesach, then you shouldn't even ask any challenge, just go ahead and use it, because you've definitely got the chazanish to be somech on, and there's very, very few possible who actually argue with this, but Klal Yisrael are Am Yisrael Kadosh, and they want to do their best, so they have to know people shouldn't sometimes do one's best, might not be doing one's best, because if you refrain from taking something which is supposed to be taken, and you can be causing yourself harm, is also wrong. So therefore, one generally, if one's got a tablet and one's not sure and got any doubt about it, one has to take it, one can take it. That's as far as the tablets are concerned. Where the problems get more difficult, I have to be brief because the time is limited, but where the problems get more difficult is with liquid medication, unsurable medication which contains certain sweeteners, where there is a strong chashash that they could be derived from chometz, and it depends where in the world you are, and it's the markets in the world are very difficult to clarify ingredients such as glucose, which is a very common one, sorbitol, this mannitol I mentioned before. There's various things like that. And then, of course, there's alcohol itself, ethanol, which comes in many liquid medications. So what do you do about that? So in the main, but not always, this problem arises for children, because it's a children's medication that usually is in that form. And the question, there's various questions. There's first of all, and the main ingredient, for example, in children's medication and cough mixtures, the other thing that's very often you get alcohol is in cough mixtures and things like that. And these are things which are not necessarily chayyish b'sakonu, certainly. So with cough mixtures that contain alcohol, there's a good sad to say, if we don't know the source of the alcohol, very hard to envira. So therefore, one should avoid, which is why we usually put them down, unless we've been able to clarify, as not okay. But when it comes to children's medication, which we have to write down as not being okay, because of these sweeteners, there's other things to be taken into account. First of all, bear in mind, I want to give two reasons why that if somebody does have to give this medication to their children, they shouldn't be too worried about it. The first reason is that most of these sweeteners do go through a series of chemical processes, and therefore they probably are not, even if they were derived from Chometz, whether their mom's Chometz gomor or not is a very strong question. There's questions of ishtaneh, there's questions of, in some cases, they go through a stage in their processing where they become totally inedible, and then they become inedible again. So there are sedodim to be makel. And the other side that there's to bear in mind with all these things is that it could well be, though I haven't fully been aware, that if you would take roiv of everything in the whole world, and if you can consider the world as a global market, which is becoming, to this is a subject which I've been discussing in recent weeks, but with the way the world is today, you have items coming from China that get here, and we get stuff going all over the world. So if one could be mavara, that in the whole world there is a roiv, that roiv of these ingredients are not from commerce, then there is a shitter, to machlekes achronim, a shitter that we know that by b'dikas chometz, there's a halacha in the b'dikas chometz, that if you have a loaf of sofik, a piece of some sort of material, you're not sure it's a sofik, is it chometz or not, and you've done b'dika in a whole lot of houses, and then and a chulva comes along and takes that back into one of the houses again, and you're not sure where it's gone, and you're not sure, or even you know where it's gone, but you can't find it. Are you mechuyev to do bedikah nochamol? And the halacha is you don't, because we say called the porish meruba porish, and presumably that we assume that the piece which you were dealing with was not roiv. We're talking about where there's roiv, not chometz. So if there's roiv, not chometz, you don't have to do bedikah again. And the question is, can you apply this called the porish meruba porish for for something which got mixed up before Pesach, let's say roiv alcohol is not from chometz, and you've got a medication which has got some alcohol in it, but Shasa would rely that since roiv alcohol is not chometz, and this was porish before Pesach, they have been before Pesach, so therefore you could be soilech, and there are possible to say that you could rely on roiv. Of course, you have to be sure that it is roiv. But whatever it is, obviously, medication and liquid medication, children medication, is a much bigger problem. Wherever possible, one tries to avoid it. The main problem arises, however, where it's very difficult, many times, are children's medication. Because children's medication is, you can't crush up tablets to give children. Usually, most children are not prepared to, it's very much harder anyway. You can get suppositories as well. But there are many things that you can't get in a form that would not be free of chometz. In Eretz Yisrael, they have certain varieties that are kosher to Pesach. In Belgium, they have one, but so far here, I haven't been able to find a product that is definitely okay for Pesach. And so the question is, what is the halacha? Let's assume you have it, and you had it from before Pesach, but you can include it in your mechiras chometz. It's mutter to sell these things, even those don't sell chometz gomor, because these things are very, very unlikely, they're not going to be chometz gomor. So you've sold it. Can you take it out of your sold chometz and give it to a child on Pesach? And the discussion amongst the main basis for the heter for this stems from the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Siman Tov Nun, where he says, he paskin, and his main concern there, he's talking about the Kiras Chometz, and the main concern about using a Goy's Chometz and asking a Goy to give Chometz to your child. He said, you've got a child who is somewhat ill, not terribly ill, and he needs for some reason to eat or drink chometz, and he's talking about real chometz, that you know it's proper comments, like what we're talking about. You've got to be careful that you shouldn't say to the guy, give comment to my child, and I'll pay you afterwards. That's only a din because of you owning it. But you should ask him to give much on them. But as far as the actual giving it to the child, that we're not concerned about. We're concerned about that you shouldn't be owning it. If you ask the guy and you tell him you're going to pay him, then you might have a problem with owning it. But, and he says, again, time is short, so I won't quote every word, but basically what he says is that if, it's clear from here, if there's a way that you're sure this comment does not belong to you, then in the first instance, it's still, you see, the problem is, as we know, there's a issa of safin. That means, generally speaking, it's forbidden to give a child a dova or osa. And the question is, does that din of giving a child, so you don't own it, somehow the child, can you give directly a child chometz on Pesach because you're actually feeding him chometz? In the same way as you're not allowed to feed a child with macholas asuras, does this apply? And the Shulchan Aruch Rav learns, and in fact, it's a Chlora Mishnah Berurah as well, that the Maisa, the Issa of Safinon, does not apply to chometz on Pesach. The reason for this is complicated. Why should it not apply? Why should chometz on Pesach be different from ordinary macholas asuras? And the Tosefta Shabbos gives a reason, and that is that in the same way as you are allowed, Mogen Avraham Paskins, you are allowed to feed a child on Yom Kippur when it's there's no issa safinim if you give a child to eat on Yom Kippur, aside from the fact that you have to because it would be nefesh, it doesn't, but so the actual giving of chometz to a child, not chometz, of giving of food to a child on Yom Kippur is permitted. And the reason is that the general rule is that any which is not osik in itself, but it's only osik because of the zman, that means for the Yom Kippur, the food is still perfectly good, it just happens to be a zman. Anything which is osik because of the zman, then there's not an issa of safino, which is the reason, incidentally, okay, those who talk about Dine Darabonon, why it's perfectly permissible to give a child sweets before Kiddush, or give him, a child can eat before Kiddush, a child under Bas Mitzvah or Bar Mitzvah can eat, can be given food before Kiddush, because the food isn't also, not Safin in there, it's the Zman, it's Yom Kippur, or it's the time you use before Kiddush, that, the Kiddush is that we can consider Chometz, and it seems to be that these poskim hold that you can consider Chometz as being an issa of zman, rather than an issa chefza or issa in its own right. And on that basis, even though it's ideal if one's got the opportunity and possibility to do it, rather to, for example, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav gives the etzah, you can give an older child to give it, who's also under bar mitzvah, to give it to a younger child, that's a way around it as well, rather than to give it yourself. But in case of necessity, you'd be allowed to give it yourself, even if it was chometz gomer. Bear in mind here, we're not talking about chometz gomer. We're talking about things where there are kamas fakers anyway. And therefore, the main problem you have to bear in mind is your question of ownership. So before Pesach, it's not such a problem, you can sell it. The main question does arise after the Zman Issa, and now this sort of stage we are now. And that's why it's quite important to know, I even put a message on my announcement to that effect, that lu yotsuyu, you have to get a fresh medication for a child on during Pesach, and you have to pick it up from a pharmacy, then you have to make sure that you're not cleaning it. It's in some place I don't know what they're doing, they have an arrangement, pharmacists in the Heimish areas know that they're not, that they're retaining the ownership. That means they're giving it to you to use for your child, but you're not cloning it. It's very important to have that in mind. That is, because if you do get some one of these things, then you might have a problem of, you might have to get another one. That could be a more serious problem.
Isn't there a problem at the pharmacy?
You take it.
What? Sorry?
Isn't it a problem at the pharmacist in Jewish?
Okay, so he knows what to do. He's got his own array. The most Jewish pharmacists, I mean all Jewish pharmacists, keeping out Pesach are selling their chometz in such a way that they know what they're doing. That's not your worry. Your worry is that if you, especially from a non-Jewish pharmacist, that you're not, that you have to be careful that you arrange that you don't own it. And those are the main nekudas. Basically, run out of time. Those are the main nekudas I wanted to discuss. Again, as I've said, this is a subject which is a very, very broad-ranging, and each of the points I've mentioned would be worthy of a share now, right? And maybe at certain times we'll have opportunity to go into these in detail. But I take this opportunity of wishing everybody a very good further continuation of the Yom Tov. And my bracha is that, as I always say, the questions we have discussed should be mainly theoretical. Everybody should be well, your children should be well, and should not have to get into these shyness.